that may not be a good idea. He moved into a ready position.
I promise I can take it. Fight when you're ready, my dear.
She nodded and tested her swords, getting a feel for them before lifting both into a Daedan-style protective stance, with her offhand blade pointed down. Death lifted a brow, impressed yet again. Then, without any kind of warning yell, she struck, hard. Her sword crashed into his, but it was her leg that made him take notice. The sweep nearly knocked him off balance. Compensating, he closed the distance to get inside her guard. Just when he planned to pull her luscious body against him, the woman proved she fought as dirty as he did. Her knee met his groin, and fire replaced where his balls had resided. Death dropped.
Fuck,
he groaned, refusing to grab at the injury. She knelt before him and offered a hand. Now, would you like to try that again without your ego in the way?
Sure,
he grunted.
Just as soon as my ego descends from my throat and stops throbbing. And so you know, when I said I could take it, I meant the wooden weapons, not your knee, Highness.
Everything can be an advantage, she said, grabbing his elbow to pull him up. I was taught to use them all. Claudius, you need to walk that off.
Yeah, I just...
He sucked in a long breath and stood as straight as he could.
Can you look the other way for a moment?
She smiled, proving she guessed why he wanted her to turn, but she did it anyway. Quickly, he made an adjustment, then took a few steps. When the pain was more of a dull ache, he retrieved his sword from the dirt.
Again,
he asked. She turned and immediately found her starting position. Ready when you are. This time, he initiated the attack, but she blocked well. Not perfectly, but he had no intention of making her look bad. Mostly, he wanted to see what she knew and where her weaknesses lay. As their weapons cracked against each other, and their feet sent up puffs of dust, other fighters began to gather. The princess held her own, and much better than he'd expected. Her foundation was good, but her strength was lacking. No matter how hard she tried, she couldn't power through his swords, but she also didn't often try. Instead, she used her smaller size and greater agility to make up for the strength she lacked, proving the wolf had taught her well. Even more impressive, he really couldn't disarm her. The girl hadn't been bragging when she'd said that. She honestly was a competent fighter. Not great, but better than most of the novices in this camp and twice as dirty. When she hacked at his exposed leg, the laugh just slipped out.
Okay, he begged, stepping back to wave her off. You've beaten me enough for one day. Thank you, Highness, for the pleasure.
Her eyes widened, and she looked at the men clustering around them, but they'd all heard the title. Most bowed their heads, a few glanced to Death for confirmation, and the hum of conversation fell into a shocked silence. He nodded at them all and gestured to the beautiful woman wearing clothes no different from their own. This was what he'd hoped would happen.
You heard me, he told the fighters. The princess of Norahaim, Alessia Arevati, half-sister to the wolf of Oberheim, has come to ask a favor of us. Of us, not some other team. It seems the queen needs a few good men, and she set her eye on you.
Essa's fingers pressed into his arm, making him look at her. She nodded and then took over, clearly understanding what he was trying to do. No, she said. The queen doesn't want good men. She wants gladiators and the best gladiators she can find. While you all have been struggling to stay alive, Rhea has begun teasing our border, testing to see if Norheim is as strong as the rumors make us out to be. But we're not. My sister learned firsthand that the best fighters she could ask for are here, learning to navigate the games, and she needs your help. Death pulled her arm around his, making her pause so he could finish.
So I'm giving you all an option. Come with me to fight for the Queen of Norheim, or stay here and risk never making it out of the arena. Let us make our deaths count for something. Tomorrow, we march to Lanmont, where I will give the Queen my terms. Either she will grant you all your freedom here in Norheim, or I will give it to you in Rhea.
He paused for the swell of comments that brought forth, smiling at the people around him the whole time.
Yes, you thought it was just a ploy to make my opponents fear me, huh? It's not. My name is Claudius Gaius, the next Caesar of Rhea, And I need you, my men, to help me prove that Norheim is a country too proud to bow to anyone.
I didn't know the queen had a sister, someone called out. Death chuckled. Seriously, Badger, there's always a bastard hidden somewhere. Besides, if she'd been born on the right side of the sheets, there'd be no way I'd have a chance with a woman like this, now would I?
Someone else laughed.
What makes you think you have a chance with her now?
He pointed at them.
I'm counting on you all to make it happen. Seems that if I can get enough men to fight with me, I might be allowed to court this lovely lady. So what say you? Will you march across the country with me?
They all started to reply. Most of it was some version of yes, but not all. A few still had questions. Others weren't interested in walking the whole way, and their team didn't own enough carts for all of them. Death was doing his best to convince them one by one, when Tor's voice broke through the crowd.
Death!
Everyone fell silent and moved to let him through. Death just jerked his chin in acknowledgement.
We're going to Landmont, Tor. Get the carts ready.
Tor lifted the letter in his hand.
And you probably want to know that the Queen's messengers just delivered this, signed by the Prince Consort.
He held it out as he closed the last few steps to place the note in Death's hands. Essa leaned closer to read over his shoulder. Connell found a solution, she whispered after only the first line.
For what?
He asked. She pointed to the part she meant. A reason for us to be there. The Rion envoy made it clear that amassing troops on the border would be seen as a threat, but Laylee told them Landmont would have a celebration for the new Dom.
And what else would a former team owner want than the biggest games the country has ever seen?
With a chuckle, he turned to the fighters before him and began to read.
To celebrate the ascension of Theodian Serapio to his new position as the Dom of Landmont, and the recognition of his adoption of Maxin Serapio as his son and heir, Leilani Meridia Arevati, the Queen of Norheim, invites you and your team to compete at the Landmont Arena. The award for ultimate victory will be a rudis and full rights of citizenship to any man or woman who survives, and the owners of the most capable teams shall be invited to join the Norheim recruiting office with appropriate compensation. No entry fee is required.
Tor waved at the letter.
She's going to set all of my new fighters free again, isn't she?
Essa nodded. Probably, but it sounds like she plans to pay you to find more. I think my sister has realized that there might be a use for gladiators in our country after all.
The grunt that came out of Tor's mouth was clearly unimpressed. I guess that means I need to start organizing the carts, huh? How many are we taking, Death?
He smiled.
Anyone who's willing to come. But we don't have enough space to haul them all.
Then don't. Half will march, half will ride, and we'll switch every day.
They'll just run, Tor shot back.
Death shook his head.
They won't run. If they try, we still have their titles.
He raised his voice so it would carry.
They'll be caught and sent back through the games as criminals, and we all know how few live through that. If they fight, they may earn their freedom. If they run, they'll guarantee their deaths. And knowing that the Queen wants to make my men into her soldiers, that means she's even given them a job for when this is all over. What fool would throw that away?
There's always at least one fool in any crowd, Tor pointed out.
Yeah, Death agreed. But the gladiator who stops them and turns them in will get the first choice of weapons. We're riding with the carts unlocked, Tor. I want to know who the cowards are before we trust them to guard our backs.
Yes, sir, Tor agreed.
Highness, will you be riding with us?
I will, she decided. I think this is something I'll want to see firsthand. If the messenger hasn't left yet, have him tell the Queen that Death has decided to leave the sands. She'll know what it means. Chapter 27 After 10 days of being locked in the royal carriage, Laylee ached all over. Granted, the colder weather didn't help. Riding a horse would have been easier, but Tristan was adamant, so she hadn't fought him. Besides, it had given her time to get to know her new maids. They talked about everything over the miles between Oberheim and Landmont, and Laylee held nothing back. Neither had the girls. Some of it was foolish gossip about their love lives, but they also covered politics and fashion. Best of all, their varied backgrounds gave Layli a whole new perspective on her country. Before they'd left, Connell had sent out messages to every gladiator team in the nation. The most impressive, like Tours and Marinos, would turn the odds in Norheim's favor. The lesser-known groups were just to keep up the ploy. If they showed up in Landmont, even better. If not, sending the offers still kept the Rus safe. Layli had a feeling the Rians had already moved spies inside her country and would have scouts keeping track of any troop movement, but this shouldn't raise any alarms. It was for a known celebration. The only question was how long it would take for the gladiators to get there. Gianna warned her that the Norheim soldiers wouldn't be pleased to work with gladiators. Cherry suggested splitting the men so they wouldn't need to work together. Mara thought that asking the soldiers to train the gladiators would be a good idea. Astrid just shrugged it off, saying that after one tongue-lashing from the queen, the problems would likely vanish. Layli hoped it would be that easy, but she doubted it. Considering the problems her nobles were giving her, she was getting sick of men and their arrogance, and she was pretty sure it wasn't just her hormones. The Dom of Brettenvale had responded to her summons by saying he had no intention of leaving his Oberheim residence to celebrate some commoner pretending to be his equal. Layli had ridden to his manor house herself to explain in very simple terms that unless he also wanted to be replaced with a competent gladiator, she would see him and his full guard in Landmont. The message sent to the Dom of Everton had been almost as threatening, but veiled in typical royal language. Both men were informed that they could invite their boyars and minor lords to join them, but were not required to do so. Thankfully, Connell was pacifying Brettenvale's pride by riding most of the way across Norheim with him. Then there was death. Essa hadn't returned before they left, and Layli had no idea what that man would do. He'd volunteered for the games for a reason. She just hoped it was an honorable one, because she really needed his help. Rhea didn't do things like a kingdom. With her convoluted political system, it was more of a free-for-all, with every man trying to find some advantage to get him noticed. Unfortunately, Dario had refused to stay in Oberheim and wait for her return. Layli tried to convince him that, as the heir, the pair of them should not be together, but he countered with the dozens of times Kale had followed Dario around. When she tried to explain that things were different now with the Rian threat, he pointed out that she no longer had just one heir, but three, and her father would make a wonderful regent until Savio came of age. When Plague had agreed, she knew she'd lost, but at least those two were getting along. At camp the first night, they'd commiserated over their sudden rise in status, earning a little taunting from Layli's guards. It hadn't lasted long, though. Now they rode alongside her carriage like the rest, mingling with her guard as if they belonged there. Mostly Layli approved, but she wondered what the other nobles would think about such familiarity. Then again, did she really care? After all, she was the queen who'd made a gladiator into a dom. But all of her problems slipped from her mind when she saw Landmont City before them. Nestled between rolling hills, the citadel stood above the rest of the city. While it was half the size of the Oberheim Palace, it was twice as tall, and the exterior was plain. Overall, it gave an imposing impression, but that only proved it would be the perfect place to plan their defense.
"Lay,"
Tristan asked, reining his horse alongside the ornate carriage.
"We're almost into the city. Did you want to be announced?"
"No," she decided. "Let them wonder this time."
"Okay. And the boy, do you care if we look proper as we pass through town?"
Layli leaned a little farther out the window to see Crush holding his son on the saddle before him. Joseph looked thrilled, and Crush had given the child the reins, with his own hand casually holding the slack, so the boy could pretend he was in control. Shaking her head, she decided there was no better impression her citizens could have. "If there's a problem, we'll pull him through the window," she promised. "Besides, they've been apart for too long. Let a father show off a little." Tristan leaned down to put his face closer.
"Does that mean I'll be allowed to do the same with the princess one day?"
"No promises," she teased. My daughter would probably kick you off the horse and make you walk at her side.
Only when she's older.
He grinned and turned his horse away, kicking it to catch up with Crush. She watched as the two men exchanged a few words. Crush glanced back, caught her eye, then nodded. His face looked as serious as ever, but his eyes were bright with pride. Laylee gestured for Mara to see for herself, and the women made an awkward swap of seats.
You know, this is the only home Joseph has ever known, Mara pointed out. And when we left, we were very poor. I'm sure he's hoping his friends will see him.
Should we make a detour? Laylee asked. Ride up the street where you used to live? Mara gestured up the hill.
This is it. I mean, we moved into a women's house about a block over, but Boris's shop was just up the street.
Then her smile faded.
That's where he got into it with Lord Sarasona and was arrested.
I heard my younger cousin grabbed you, Laylee said gently. I'm sorry. If you ever decide you want to press charges...
No, Mara gasped. Oh, I wouldn't want to deal with that again. The Lord said he was sure I was a man and pawed me to prove it. Boris, I mean Crush, yanked him off me and spit in his face so he wouldn't come back, but the Lord claimed offense.
She shook her head emphatically.
I'm sure a trial would only make a fool of us both, and I think justice has been served in its own way.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure you knew the option was there, Laylee assured her, having to raise her voice over the people outside who were starting to fill the streets. Is Joseph still okay in the middle of that?
Mara nodded. He's waving at them like he's a prince himself. Oh, there's his friends.
That did it. The women leaned over each other so they could all see. They didn't even care if they looked foolish as they pulled back the curtains for a better view. Joseph was definitely waving, but he was also pointing at Crush and yelling about how his dad was back. At least four young boys ran alongside the horse, all yelling up at him. At the side of the road, the shopkeepers pointed at the procession and laughed, a few of them daring to call out their wares, hoping to be noticed. Then an older woman stepped into the street, almost under the nose of Tristan's horse. Wild red hair had worked its way out from her kerchief, giving her a disheveled appearance. The secor pulled the gelding up hard, but in the carriage, Laylee instinctively reached for the short sword strapped along her thigh. Before she could pull it out, the matron lifted a small jar in the palm of her hand, like an offering.
Good for burns, sir, she told him. Even heals the skin when they're old and scarred.
Tristan's eyes narrowed.
Ma'am, I'm sorry, but I don't need that.
The woman cackled like some demented crone.
Don't be so sure. A god's mark isn't something to regret. You lost yours, so take this. Free, for you.
Then her face became very serious.
I insist.
Keep the carriage moving, Tristan snapped as he tried to nudge his horse away. Ma'am, I appreciate the offer, but I must stay with my charge.
The woman caught his arm, the one holding the reins, and slapped the jar against his fingers.
It's my gift. Your wife has hers. This one is for you.
She kept pressing until he had no choice but to take the container.
I'm not married, he told her,
trying to pass it back, but the old lady stepped out of reach.
Oh, you are. I was there. I saw.
Then she turned and disappeared into the crowd. Tristan stood in the stirrups to find her again, but Laylee was looking just as hard. As the carriage slowly moved up the hill, she hoped the angle would help, but the strange woman was simply gone. Confused, she waved for her secor to come closer.
What was that? She asked.
He shrugged and passed over the plain pottery jar that had just caused such a commotion.
I'm half convinced her ointment will be poison. That's or she was mad.
Laylee took it and passed it to the girls inside. Tristan, how would she know about your burns? Her eyes moved to the bracers strapped to his arms.
Not completely sure she did. That's or she was at the game where it happened. It doesn't matter, pup. Just don't use whatever's in that jar, okay? For all we know, this is the Rion's first attempt to get rid of you.
But she gave it to you, Laylee hissed, keeping her voice down. And she said she was at your wedding.
Which only proves she's not in touch with reality. Don't worry about it, Lay.
While they talked, Cherry had opened the jar, and what she found made her suck in a breath.
Laylee, you have to see this.
Tilting it, she exposed nothing more terrifying than a tarnished chain and a hand-carved wooden pendant, nearly identical to the one the Queen had loaned her sister. It was close enough that Laylee grabbed the jar from Cherry's hand, convinced this was a sign Essa had been murdered, but then she noticed the differences. The lion and wolf weren't entwined as equals. Instead, the smaller wolf was being held in the lion's embrace, as if shielded by him. The pose was almost romantic. She reached for the necklace, but Tristan stopped her before she touched it.
Lay, it could be poisoned. Just leave it be.
Are you so sure it's not from a fan?
No, he admitted. But I'd much rather have one of Theodian's men test it first. Unlike you, I'm not completely convinced Rhea won't see you as a threat. If I wanted to be the Caesar pup, I'd take you out first, because you're the most dangerous thing in all of Norheim.
It's just such a perfect match, she explained. Not many people have seen mine up close, so how would they know?
Don't know and don't really care.
He looked over at Cherry.
When we get to the Citadel, hand that to one of the gladiators, would you? Make sure Laylee doesn't get any silly ideas between now and then.
The girl nodded. Promise, Tristan. Then she snatched the jar from the Queen's hand.
Secor's orders, she teased.
Laylee made a production of rolling her eyes.
Don't know why I thought letting you two spend time together would be a good idea.
Remember,
Tristan said, reaching through the window to clasp her shoulder.
You're the one who threw her in my lap. You have no one to blame but yourself for making me such a very good match. Now forget that jar even exists.
Then he pulled away, returning to his duties as her guard. Laylee had to admit he was right, but she wouldn't let him know how much the necklace bothered her. It was just too coincidental. If the Rheons wanted her dead that bad, would they honestly trust an old woman to make it happen? Not unless they had a few more tricks already in play. In other words, she had to assume that nothing would be safe until either Rhea signed a new alliance or they won the war that was definitely brewing.
Ladies, she said, as her eyes went back to the massive tower slowly growing larger before them. We need to figure out who we can trust and fast. I'm sure of Theodian and Plague, but outside our guard, that's about it. While we're here, I want you all to ask around, see if there are any rumors, and let me know. Most of all, don't ever let your weapons out of your reach, not even when you're alone with your husbands, because we're about to be surrounded by nothing but killers.
Chapter 28. The Citadel was surrounded by a stone wall the height of three men and at least four horses wide. As they passed through the tunnel that led to the courtyard, Laylee noticed the spouts that would rain down hot oil on any unwelcome visitors. When they came out the other side, the last line of defense met her proudly. The Odian's guards, all wearing his team's yellow marked with a black Lanmont dragon, stood in perfect formation to greet the Queen's arrival. There were dozens, possibly even hundreds of soldiers, and the bodies filled the courtyard, all standing at perfect attention. Unlike most noble guards, these men looked like they'd seen battle, and many bore obvious scars from their time on the sands, but that wasn't the shocking part. That they'd become so regimented in such a short time was a near miracle. Not one moved as her carriage rumbled up to the main entrance, followed by the very long line of a royal procession that probably still extended down through the main city. In other words, those men would be standing there for a while. The moment her carriage stopped, Tristan was there to open the door and offer Laylee a hand down. Behind him was Dario, with the rest of her guard still dismounting, leaving Horace and Edwin to manage their horses. Clearly, each man intended to assist his wife or sweetheart from the carriage. Impressed, Laylee stepped out as regally as she could. She was greeted almost immediately.
"Long live the Wolf of Oberheim!" Theodian yelled as he hurried over.
The men in ranks responded automatically.
"Long live the Gladiator Queen!"
Smiling, she nodded at the display as she clasped Theodian's hand between hers.
"Very nice. How long did it take you to organize this?"
"No different than any arena display, Your Majesty," her former team owner assured her. I can only assume this means you got our message.
Yes, and met with a Rion envoy shortly after, but let's talk about that later. Right now, she stepped back and gestured to Plague. Dom Serapio, I would like to formally present Lord Maxon Serapio, who I prefer to call Lord Plague, the next Dom of Lanmont. The Odian's smile was proud.
So you granted it.
I did, although I would have waited if I'd known I'd end up here. He made Lanmont look good when he swore his oath of fealty.
And I'm not calling you Dad, Plague added.
No, the Odian agreed. That would be a little weird. Theo will do, but I can't promise I won't drop a son every so often, just to remind you of your place.
Plague chuckled.
I can live with that.
Thanks, Theo. I honestly didn't expect it.
No, but I have a feeling our wolf did. Pretty sure that's the only reason she didn't steal you for her guard.
Possibly, she teased, because she really hadn't. The only thing she'd known was that Theodian relied on Plague, and they worked well together. And I've also named my own heir presumptive, since you made such good points. My brother, Prince Dario, sired by Ilario Aravati with his mistress, Chiara Roy. Sadly, I'm not quite sure what surname he's using.
Roy, Dario told them as he joined the conversation with Astrid on his arm. If I ever end up responsible for that monstrosity of metal she calls a crown, I'll assume the Aravati name, but until then, I would prefer to remain Dario Roy, as a sign of respect for the man who raised me.
Your Highness, the Odian said before bowing deeply.
And is this your wife?
Not yet, Dario explained. But I'm trying hard to convince her.
My lord, this is Lady Astrid Lyon of Oberheim, sister to Lord Oberheim, the Queen Secor, and the one lion I am not brave enough to cross, which might be the only reason I am still not married.
The Odian's eyes jerked quickly to Tristan.
I see. Does all of this have anything to do with these impressive gladiatorial games I am supposed to be hosting?
Somewhat. Laylee didn't want to say too much while everyone was watching. Officially, I've invited every team in the nation because I can think of no better way to celebrate such an esteemed team owner's promotion than a week or more of non-lethal games. I'm hoping Tor's team won't be too far behind me.
I see.
From his tone, he clearly didn't.
And did your husband also make the trip?
He's near the back of this procession, easing the temper of the Dom of Brettenvale. She dropped her voice. I'm sorry, Theodian, but I've probably just packed your home full of pompous and arrogant brats.
We'll make do, he assured her. But come in. Let me show you to our rooms.
Without an invitation, she took his arm, all but forcing Theodian to escort her properly. He flashed her an embarrassed smile, proving he realized his mistake, but she was still impressed. Not only had Theodian gotten all of their titles correct, he'd also picked up on the relationships of their names. It wasn't something easy to learn, and he'd managed in a very short time. She couldn't wait to see the surprise on the other Dom's faces when they realized a commoner really had become their equal. The moment they entered the main hall of the Citadel, nearly a dozen women along the walls curtsied in unison. Laylee lifted a brow at Theodian, wondering how he'd gotten his staff hired so quickly. She assumed most of the previous tenants would have been evicted, simply to prevent any access to the former lords of Lanmont. He grinned proudly.
I figured if I made gladiators into guardsmen, I could hire their wives for other positions. It seems my new home had a very full treasury, and Plague has been doing his best to make sure we use it wisely.
Do you have anyone left from the Sarasona household? She asked, meaning the previous lord. He led her toward the large stairs at the center of the complex.
A few in the stables, and there's this terrifying woman who runs the kitchens. I think there were a few young ladies who'd been hired for cleaning that we fired and then rehired, but I couldn't give you a count. I've also assumed some of the other freed fighters.
I thought that looked like a lot more than 50 men.
217, he told her proudly as they ascended. Which puts Lanmont almost to full strength. Now, do you want to tell me why you've come all this way and made such a huge production now, more than a month after you dropped a title on my head?
Because the Caesar of Rhea is dead, and his son, the official heir, is missing. I have reason to believe this Senator Vinko you told me about is pushing Norheim as a way to make a bid for the position. She paused at the landing and turned to face him. The Odian, this is about to get ugly. If I'm right, I think this has been brewing for a while, right under our noses.
And your cousin's rebellion kept all of us from seeing it.
No, I think Polino's little coup may have been incentivized. She dropped her voice. Tristan and I caught him talking to Orion in the palace. No, Theodian, my gut says it's all related. Someone in Rhea is playing the long game, and the only one trying to take credit for that is Vinko. I just need to know what's going on over there. He glanced at the people around her, then stepped closer.
We've been teaching a few of the boys how to ride. Not that I know a thing about it, but a couple of my cart drivers did.
He waved that off.
Anyway, the men use it as an excuse to check the border. Terenzio, the next boyarette of Abandon.
Timoteo's brother, she cut in, showing she remembered.
Yes, he set up a network between every lord on the border. Mostly it's merchants and messengers, but we've encouraged anyone who can to report any Rion movement.
The Odian chuckled.
A few young men have decided it makes a brilliant excuse to spend time alone with their girls.
Laylee smiled at that. I bet, although I'm not opposed to using lovers as my spies. So what do we know?
Most of the interest seems to be between us and Abandon. Rockdale started working on his cavalry, it seems. He's got a whole herd of young horses that need to be trained and culled before feeding them all winter. Said he's making deals with the northern tribes to buy the ones that won't work out, and seems to think having so many clansmen moving around has pushed any Rions further south.
Probably. She gestured for them to keep moving. So is Rockdale actually selling horses to the north?
Every year. At least that's what the locals say.
When they reached the next level, he gestured to the left.
Laylee, I want to send a couple of boys across the border to see what we're really up against. No one spotted more than one or two, but even I know that's not how Rhea works.
Those are just scouts, she agreed. But if those boys are caught, Rhea won't give us a chance to explain. He lifted a hand, begging for her patience.
Not soldiers. I've got a couple of boys who ended up in the games for poaching and a few more hunters. I was going to ask for volunteers, and they will not be wearing my colors.
Rions would kill them, she shook her head. No, I'm sorry, I won't ask anyone to do that. Crush's hand settled on her shoulder.
Wolf, you're not here to save us. Not this time. Your job is to save something bigger than any of us. Ask the men. Let them make the decisions.
I'll ask, Plague offered, and I'll make it clear what the risks are. When Laylee gave in and nodded, he turned to go the other way, clearly intending to do that now. She thought about calling him back, then gave in with a lazy wave of her arm. After all, Crush was right. If Rhea ever got the upper hand, the people in Lanmont would be just as dead, her included.
Your room's over here,
Theodian said, leading her onward.
Things aren't quite as luxurious here as they are in the palace, but it's a long way up from the barracks I put you in at camp.
He paused before a heavy wood door and pushed it open, gesturing for her to go first. What Laylee walked into was an opulent suite, similar to where she lived in Oberheim. There were two doors off the main sitting area, one for Connell and one for her, and plenty of room for her friends to lounge alongside her. The main difference, though, was the balcony on the far side. While she gawked, the rest of her entourage stepped in, checking out the luxuries for themselves and deciding where they were going to put everything. I think it's nicer than the royal suite, she told him. I don't have a balcony at home. He chuckled, but it sounded almost embarrassed.
I have never hosted a queen before, so I gave you the biggest and best room in the citadel. And yours, Tristan asked.
The Odian pointed straight up.
I'm on the top floor. Didn't need a big room just for myself, and the climb means the guys don't bother me too much. Also, we updated the training facilities here to be more in line with what we're used to. The two of you will probably approve.
Thank you, Laylee said. But at the same time, Tristan told him.
She won't be sparring.
The new Dom raised a brow.
This sounds like something I don't want to get in the middle of.
No, Laylee assured him. I promised I wouldn't spar with just anyone, but I do want to keep myself in shape. I'm pregnant, Theodian. His eyes immediately jumped to Tristan.
I'm hoping this is good news.
Tristan ducked his head.
Yes, it's what we were hoping for, but I've been told I'm overprotective.
Amazingly, Laylee groaned. And yes, Connell knows and approves. He, my guards, and my maids are all in on our little secret, but no one else. She looked up at her former team owner. I need you to keep my pregnancy as secret as the father. Dario's agreed to step up and act as my heir, but if the worst happens with Rhea... Theodian nodded in understanding.
No one will hear a thing from Plague or I. Promise, Laylee.
I know, and I need one last thing from you. My maid has a necklace, and we're not sure if it's poisoned. Can you have someone wash and check it?
Definitely. And if it's clean, I assume you want it back.
Laylee's hand reached up to her bare neck, where her own necklace should lay. I do. If it's safe, well, it's a match to mine, as if carved by the same hand.
Then I'll make sure it's safe. A few of these guys know how to identify poisons, and I'm sure they'd be thrilled to help.
Thanks. She turned him toward the door. Now go greet the rest of your guests. We probably have a few days, if not longer, before Everton makes it here. I have no idea if Tor or Marina will even accept my invitation, but I'm hoping so. When he reached the doorway, Theodian paused.
I have a gladiator by the stairs on every floor. If you need anything, just ask. They know you have full access to anything you need or want at any time.
He dipped his head and stepped back.
Even me. Just don't be surprised if I piss off at least a few of these nobles you dragged out here.
If you didn't, she teased, I'd be disappointed. Good luck, Theodian. You're going to need it.
Of course I am, he grumbled.
Chapter 29 Over the next few days, Lanmont was filled until the stones were ready to burst. At least that's how it felt to Cherry. Every time she entered the hall, someone else was being led to their temporary rooms. Doms, boyars, and boyarettes, all the levels of nobility were represented, and most of them wanted people to grovel to them. It seemed the only place to sneak away from them was outside. Luckily, most of the Queen's guards were feeling just as claustrophobic, so they were always willing to give a lesson. Sadly, that only helped so much. Everyone in the Queen's retinue was more skilled with their weapons than she was. Cherry hadn't spent years playing at it with her husband like Gianna, or butchering meat like Mara. Then there was Astrid. She'd had full access to all of the men for training since she'd arrived at the palace, and her head start showed. Nope. All Cherry had was a beautiful sword that she could barely keep still when Grigori tapped it with his wooden weapon.
Don't fight it, he insisted. Let the sword move you. Sweetie, you're too tiny to fight that much steel. You have to work with it like it's your lover.
Clearly, everything was about sex with this guy. With a groan, she let the tip of the long blade drop into the dirt. Can you please try to focus on the swords for just a few more minutes?
Not possible with such a beautiful woman looking so fierce before me.
He gestured for her to lift the weapon again.
Dance with it, Cherry. Counter its movement with yours. Ready?
Sure. He swung his wooden short sword, using only one hand, and tapped her flambard. The tip went out, so she moved the base under it and stabbed. The next time, he tried to hit it the other way. Considering he'd only been allowed to start practicing when they reached Lanmont, she felt even worse about her lack of control. A recently wounded guard was still too much for her, but Cherry still gave it her all.
Stop!
The bellowing voice made not just Grigori halt his weapon, but all the other maids and their partners as well. In unison, the entire crew turned to face the sound. The man who'd made it was the Dom himself, striding forward like he had a purpose.
You!
And he pointed at Grigori.
What are you trying to teach that girl? How to use a greatsword. What does it look like, Theodian?
The Dom of Lanmont grinned, his smile bright against his darker skin.
Looks to me like you're trying to show off. Give me your sword and move.
Grigori sighed, but obeyed. The moment Theodian's hand was on the weapon, he swept out with it, but not in an attack. Instead,
He made an overly dramatic bow toward her, complete with a flourish of the weapon at the end. Being stuck as the center of attention made Cherry's face grow warmer, and she knew she was blushing like a fool.
The Odian Serapio, my lady, known as Whirlwind, retired and elevated to my current situation by the wolf herself. And you are.
I am not a lady, she explained quickly, making sure he didn't have the wrong opinion. I'm just Cherry Butrachini, Dom Serapio.
From the group beside her, Armando called back.
It's the Odian, Cherry. He's a gladiator.
Was, the Odian corrected.
One free, just like the lion.
Then he tipped his head to her weapon.
And I'm dying to know where you found that beautiful sword.
The royal father gave it to me, sir. He looked impressed.
The king gave you a sword?
Yes, but he's not the king anymore. Layli is. I mean, the queen.
Same thing, he assured her. So what did you do before you picked up a weapon, Miss Cherry?
She shrugged. I was a merchant's daughter.
But what did you do? He insisted. Everyone does things. Did you sew or cook or maybe dance?
Again, her cheeks were feeling a little too warm, or maybe still. I read books and practiced singing, my father insisted.
Well, that does make this harder. Any other hobbies?
She racked her brain for what had filled her days before she'd stepped inside the palace. I used to go riding, and I'd often go on the hunt with Lord Deverick. We were supposed to be married before Layli annulled the agreement. Mostly, I was supposed to just be pretty and not interrupt.
Ah!
He gestured for her to lift her weapon again.
So let's use that. My dear, I want you to be very pretty and very light on your feet. That sword is long and probably heavy, but you need to keep it out of my way. You ready? I don't want my weapon to ever touch it.
Yes, sir, she agreed. Unlike Grigori, Theodian didn't come at her gently. He stumbled forward. Instinct kicked in, and she delicately stepped back, sweeping the tip of her weapon around to move with her. In shock, a squeal of delight slipped out of her mouth, loud enough to make everyone around them laugh with her.
Good, Theodian said. Keep going, girl. Don't think about it, just do it. I'm a brute about to have my way with you, and you have to keep me at bay without making a scene. If you can hit at me, even better.
Again, he lurched toward her, but this time he heaved his weapon as he did so. She moved, stepping around him, then tried to tap him with the blade. Somehow, the wooden sword he held appeared between them, so she tried again. Around and around they went, the smile on his face proving she was doing well. That made it easier for her to try something else. It rarely worked, but she was finally starting to understand how the whole sword thing worked. And the image he'd given of being attacked only helped. She knew it was just a ruse, but pretending gave her a little more confidence to act out. When she finally got the chance to swing with gusto, she did, but still missed. The Odian didn't seem to care at all. He gestured for her to lower her sword, because he was breathing too hard to say it.
I'm out of shape, he panted.
Like she'd been taught, Cherry sheathed her weapon before stepping to his side. I was never in shape, so you're still ahead of me.
And old enough to feel like I'm starting to fall apart.
He laughed at his own bad joke, then straightened and offered her a hand.
A pleasure to meet you, Miss Cherry. Can I talk you into joining me for a walk? I think it might help you to see how that weapon should be used instead of trying to learn blind.
I don't... She looked back at her friends, but they didn't seem to understand she needed an excuse to decline. I'm sorry. I'm not sure Tristan would like that, she told him, having nothing else. The Odian gave her a strange look.
The lion? That Tristan?
Yes, sir. Lord Oberheim asked if I would consent to be courted, and I don't think he'd like it much if I walked alone with another man.
Cherry, Horace said. It's okay.
The Odian held up a finger.
I thought all of her maids...
His comments were meant for the group. Horace moved closer.
She knows. She just didn't know you do. Cherry, Theodian is one of Layli's friends. He's a man who owned her team and who helped her try to save Tristan before that last game. I was also a tandem fighter, he told her, dropping his voice. Which means that I know very well that Tristan is not courting you. My offer was an honest one. I just wanted to point out a few of my fighters who use a weapon like yours, and give you some theory on how it works. Nothing more.
This time, when she looked at her friends, the girls were smiling. Astrid made a clear shooing motion, sending her off, and not a single one seemed to think there was anything scandalous about the idea. Hoping they were right, she nodded and gestured for Theodian to lead the way. Like a true nobleman, he offered his arm.
I'm practicing, he said as he steered her toward a large grassy area between the edge of the citadel and another stone building. Before I was a gladiator, I was a shop boy, responsible for carrying things from the delivery carts into the store to be sold. Manners are something I'm sadly lacking, but I learned to fake it when I was running my own team. Would you tell me if I get out of line?
Me, she asked. Sir, I'm not important enough to—
You, he interrupted. The girl who seems to be twice as proper as the queen herself, and that's not a bad thing.
What he didn't realize was that it wasn't training that made her fall back on her manners. It was fear of the repercussions. Her father had a very heavy hand, and the man she'd been betrothed to hadn't been any better. These gladiators, though, they were crass, blunt, and refreshingly honest. They ignored the shallow things that most people use to value their lives and cut right to the heart of what truly mattered. If she was honest with herself, Cherry liked that about them, even if she was never sure what would come next. I'll try, she told Theodian, but only if you tell me when I'm being prissy, okay?
That I think I can do. Now, over here is where my boys like to work out.
Just as they neared the smaller stone building, she saw what he was talking about. The decorative lawn had been converted into a sparring field. Areas were marked off by clusters of bodies, and the lush fall grasses made their footing soft. That's when she realized the second building must be the guards' barracks. Do they have a training schedule? She asked.
Nope.
He smiled down at her.
Mostly it's knowing Rhea is out there. Part of it is wanting to show off for the wolf. The rest is just that after a few months of spending every free second with a sword, a lot of us don't know what to do with ourselves, and this makes it easier.
So you still consider yourself one of them? Slowly, he nodded.
I always will be. There's something that changes the first time a man or woman walks off the sands. It's hard to explain, but you can almost feel yourself bend inside, like the gods have twisted our souls just a bit. Every gladiator knows that feeling, and no one else I've met ever has.
The Queen's Guard, she asked. He tilted his head to the side and lifted a shoulder in a mock shrug.
Maybe. Hard to be sure, since those boys were gladiators for a day. Oh, that's what I wanted you to see.
He pointed at a group in the middle of everything.
That is Storm, formerly of Everton. She came onto the sands not long after Laylee left. The two are nothing alike, but I hoped that watching her might help you get an idea of what it is your sword can do.
The woman in question was completely and totally average. She wasn't pretty. Her features were just a bit too harsh for that, but she wasn't ugly. She also was neither tall nor short, thick nor thin. Instead, she had this air about her that made Cherry want to smile. Maybe it was the set of her shoulders, or it could have been watching her twirl a long, thin blade around like it was some cross between a quarterstaff and a short sword. Mostly, it was seeing the guys lift their hands into feet and step back over and over after standing against her. Far enough away to not be a distraction, Theodian explained the moves and the tactics behind them, and Cherry tried to take it all in. He was right, though. It did help seeing how things looked when the attackers weren't being so gentle. Cherry also noticed that Storm didn't seem to care what direction her opponent came from. She dealt with them all in turn, never trying to fight multiples at a time and didn't bother with showing off. The woman just wanted to win. She's amazing, Cherry breathed. Theodian nodded.
Very much so. Not as determined as Laylee, and she probably wouldn't have made it to the end, but she'll make a wonderful guard.
I like how she prioritizes the attackers by the length of their weapons. Theodian's head snapped around in surprise.
You noticed that?
She nodded. Yes, and she uses that sword with one hand sometimes. I didn't know that was possible.
It is when you're stronger. Gives her more reach without always exposing her body. If you'd like, I can invite her to my office later for a game of Go and to talk about technique.
Oh, no, Cherry said a little too quickly. I wouldn't want to put you out.
It'd be my pleasure. and you might feel a little more comfortable talking to another woman instead of all these men around here. That it would also get me out of trying to find polite conversation with the lords Lely brought is just a bonus that I'm sure had nothing to do with the offer.
She looked up to find an honest smile on his face. That, and the fluttery feeling she got in her stomach every time she looked at Storm, made her nod her head in agreement. There was something about the female gladiator that made Cherry want to smile a little too much. Hopefully, whatever it was wouldn't make her as shy and stupid as she'd been around the Queen those first few days, but Cherry wasn't about to count on it. No, she would just accept that she was going to blush and be silly, and that everyone else assume what they would.
Perfect, Theodin agreed. And should I have Tristan join us so you can pretend to be his love interest for a bit longer?
Probably, she decided, because if nothing else, Tristan would at least keep her from doing anything stupid. The Odian nodded and turned for another part of the field.
Perfect. And now, over here, is Kerr. His style is a little different.
Chapter 30 The moment Tristan and Lely left the meeting in the small gallery, Cherry met them. Then, the whole way back to the suite, she tried to explain about the Odian's request to spend the evening together. To Tristan, the offer sounded innocent enough, but the girl was clearly worried about it. So, to set his friend at ease, he'd asked Crush to keep an eye on Lely and made up a reason to have a word with the Dom of Lanmont. The reality was that he never got to use the excuse. As Tristan neared the door to Theodian's private office, the gladiators stationed outside of it bowed their heads in respect. The one on the left rapped soundly on the wood. Theodian's head was peeking out before Tristan could say a word.
Ah, Lion, Theodian greeted him. I had a feeling I'd be seeing you after I showed your girl around the property.
The gladiator on the right snorted in amusement.
You find that funny, rat? Theodian asked in a tone laced with warning. Yeah, the man replied smugly. We all know he's not stumping her.
Theodian cuffed the back of the young man's head.
And that's because his partner's married to a prince. He never stopped most men.
Tristan let out an annoyed sigh.
And most men aren't chained to the queen who has certain obligations to the country. I am, and I'm not interested in being a lonely man. Just because we were tandem partners doesn't mean I can't meet someone else who makes me happy.
Both guys glanced back to Theodian.
Ain't true for everyone,
Rat muttered. This time, Theodian was the one sighing with annoyance.
Just come in, Tristan. I'm convinced I'm never going to teach some of these guys how to act civilized, and I have something for you.
He stepped back to give the Secor room to pass and told his gladiators,
Just don't talk to anyone else today, okay? Yes, sir, they replied in unison before the door closed.
Then Theodian turned.
I have the necklace Lely asked about. Seems there was nothing wrong with it except an old chain and a lot of dirt.
He moved to his desk along the side wall.
Which means you can wear it, and I got the impression Lely wants you to.
Yeah, Tristan breathed as he headed for the closest chair. When Theodian passed him the wooden pendant, he slipped it over his neck without thinking.
Thanks, but Theodian, you can't see Cherry.
His eyes narrowed as he thought about that.
Tristan, I just showed her how a few others use the greatsword. Today, yes. I got that impression from what she told me, which was a bit jumbled all over itself and hard to understand, but still, what I'm trying to tell you is that there is no future there.
Slowly, Theodian nodded.
This sounds like we're going to need a drink to go with it. Definitely. Please tell me you have some wine.
Theodian headed to the sideboard.
Has the wolf made you as picky about it as she is? No, not even close, and I still prefer beer, if you want to know the truth. Good, because beer I have plenty of, but the wine I prefer is cheap.
The Dom picked up a pitcher and filled two glasses.
One of my men makes a dark stout that I can't get enough of, but with all these nobles running around the place, I haven't had a chance to enjoy it.
Then he passed Tristan a very full mug.
So what is it about this girl that made you walk all the way up two flights of stairs to chase me off? I'm pretty sure it's not because you're interested in her, so what's her story?
Tristan took a long drink before answering, then paused, surprised at the taste.
This is good. I know, right?
And just to prove he really hadn't changed that much, the Odeon dropped into the chair behind his desk and plopped his feet on the top. Tristan did the same, using an empty corner on the opposite side.
Jerry Butrachini asked Leigh to annul her marriage. That's how they met. The man she was betrothed to had been beating on her, which is probably why she seems so meek, but Leigh saw a little something more. She says the girl has the eyes.
I can see that, the Odeon agreed. But she's much too pretty to be happy playing your game for very long. Won't take much for one of these gladiators to woo her away from you.
Actually, Tristan drawled, that won't happen. Jerry's not interested in marrying a man.
He took another drink to give that time to sink in.
She and Connell are both queer. That's why this whole mess works. Her father's probably disowned her by now, so she's nowhere else to go. By spending time with me, the court has no reason to worry about me spending time with Leigh.
Slowly, Theodian nodded.
And what about them? Connell and this girl. What do they get out of it? Connell and Timoteo have their own affair.
Timoteo? Theodian asked. Did not expect that, but good for them. And the girl?
If she finds someone, I'm certainly not going to complain. I honestly like her, in a friendly way. She's brilliant with tactics, it seems, and is trying very hard to learn everything Leigh might possibly need. I'm sure the fact that she's smitten with the queen doesn't hurt, but that's the thing. She prefers women, Theodian. Regardless of my situation, she's not interested in any man's attention.
Hold on there.
Theodian lifted a hand to give his words more meaning.
I am not trying to flirt with the girl. Come on, Tristan. You should know better than that. There is a reason I asked Lely to make Plague my heir, and that's because I'm pretty sure I won't be making any of my own.
Tristan knew about Theodian's time as a tandem fighter, how his partner had died before completing the final fight, and the most important thing of all, that he'd been a man. Paired with Theodian's words, that implied one thing.
I didn't realize. No, Theodian corrected, guessing where his mind had gone. I'm not interested in men either. The problem is that once that bond forms, there's nothing else that can match it. I'm not going to marry some woman I couldn't care less about, just so I can claim a bloodline. I already have my legacy, Tristan. Every man and woman out there who walked off the sands may as well be my child, and now that Plague's legally my son, I don't have to worry about it. I can toss a few coins at a whore if I get the urge, but I am not about to fall in love with either her or any other woman. It just doesn't work like that. My bond wasn't one I chose, but that chain can't be ignored.
So you intend to stay alone?
Theodian gestured to all four walls.
Look around us. I'm definitely not alone. I have some of the closest friends I can imagine, and they need me just as much as I need them. What I'm saying is that the stories are true. Once you lose the other half of yourself, nothing else can replace it, so I have no interest in trying. I don't need to get laid to have a purpose.
True, Tristan agreed. But you might want to mention that to Cherry. I get the impression she's used to the worst side of the men she's been around.
Then I'll tell her.
The Odeon sucked back a long drink, then smiled as he swallowed.
And I was wondering if your girl leaned that way. Showed her a fighter earlier, a woman named Storm, and Miss Cherry blushed like the sweetest maid I've ever seen. That is why I made the invitation. Told her I'd have Storm come up and talk weapons with her. They both use a hand-and-a-half-style sword.
And this Storm?
Her first day in Landmont, she nutted a man and told him that she wants nothing to do with pricks.
The Odeon chuckled.
I'm just making sure my kids meet the right person, you see. Think of me as a meddling old mother.
Tristan nearly snorted the drink he'd just taken.
Seems nobility suits you, old man. Just like it does you, but I'll make you a deal. I'll casually mention something to Storm if you do the same with Cherry. Then, if they happen to get along, I'll assign Storm to train her in weapons. If the match is strong enough, we can decide whether the wolf needs another guard to follow her around, or if I have a position to fill here.
You really are worse than a meddling mother, but I'll mention it, Tristan agreed. And Lord Connell may need another guard. He only has the three.
Which would work out well, except for one thing.
The Odeon paused.
People expect things in the palace that they don't care about here in Landmont. This entire building is filled with gladiators, Tristan. Sure, I've taught them how to put on a nice act, but they're not dumb, and they know what's really important. So she wouldn't have to hide it here, Tristan realized. I'll definitely mention something to Lei, just so she's prepared, but you have